I can tell you exactly when I started doing this. In high school back in Brisbane, I was walking past the local school hall and heard the school rock band playing Sultans of Swing with Dire Straits. I popped my head in and saw all these people crawling around stage, on scaffolding, moving stuff. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. And walked in and been doing it ever since. That was year 8, back in the late 80s. God, I'm old.
So how did you get to where you are now?
Back in those days, someone had basically had to die to get a break in this. So I put it on the back burner, went to university, and met my wife and moved to Sweden. And over there, I thought, well, what am I going to do? And a friend of a friend knew someone in the industry over there, and I just basically started doing concert work, just basically pushing boxes, hanging cables, rolling cables, and the person over there who in charge kind of said, well, this guy has a bit of knack in the industry, we'll push him up through the stages. And I started doing that, then started working for a concert hall over there as a technician on, and then just worked my way through the edges until I got basically in charge of all the technology over in Sweden.
And who have you worked for since that day that someone saw a bit of inspiration in you in Sweden?
Dire Straits, Pink Floyd, Bryan Adams. I've worked Metallica two or three times for Metaltown. Basically, there's only two bands that I would like to work with that I haven't.
And what are they?
One I'm never going to get to do, unfortunately, because it's Queen. And the second one is Foo Fighters.
I understand that for a time you actually worked for Michael Jackson.
Yeah, we toured on the Bad Tour through Europe. I did the North Europe part of it.
And what was he like to work for?
There's a few crazy rules. You get this occasionally in your contract. Michael Jackson was a bit of a weird one. Part of the contract is you couldn't talk to him directly. On his right-hand side, there's a guy we used to nickname the Parrot. And you spoke to him. If Michael asked you a question, you couldn't speak to Michael directly. You had to speak to the Parrot. The Parrot would then turn and say verbatim, word for word, what you said to Michael. Michael would take it in, and then he would answer you personally, but you couldn't respond. You had to respond to the Parrot. And it was in your contract, if you spoke without permission to speak directly to him, you were fired.
Did people actually get fired?
As far as I know, two people I understand were fired, and they were pretty high up in the group too. So there was you wouldn't know you did. You get back to your area, and there'd be a pink slip waiting for you, saying, "Please pack your stuff. Thank you very much. Goodbye." So some of the high end stars had these requests, and you'd find out these things. You'd read your contract as you were touring with them very carefully, and then you'd toe the line, or you'd be fired.
So how does it work in this industry? How do you actually get to work with someone like Pink Floyd?
Depending on what level you want to do, the best chance is to go to a crewing company and say that you want a crew, and they'll put you on unloading and loading boxes out of half a dozen semi-trailers. Then if you can do that a few times well, they'll put you on rolling cables for backline, for drums or something like that, power. Then they'll put you on a follow spot. And then you show some inspiration that you want to learn how to design lights or control lights, sitting behind the console operating or programming. And then the ultimate for most people is designing a show. And that's the apex for our industry, both lighting, video and sound, is designing a big show and then having it go on tour.
What does it feel like when you're watching a show that you've designed and, you know, there's lights, there's camera, there's action, there's an audience that's so engaged? How does that feel for you?
Funny is, I haven't actually seen a show for 20 years. I'm usually head down behind a console or running a crew.
Can it be thankless work because perhaps the artist is the one that gets the praise?
Most of the guys aren't in it for that. That's the thing. We're nerds. We're geeks. When it comes to, we love technology in our own area. And that's the best people in the industry are like that. You've got the glory hounds, the guys who say, "I'm great, I'm fantastic, look at my show." But they're not the norm. The norm is the guy who gets in, gets it done, and goes to the next show. So technically, I guess it can be a bit thankless, but I've had people come up to me, stars, and say, "Good work."
Shane, after working on all these big international events around the world, you're now in Mount Isa. Tell me how you got here.
Big thing, I got tired of living out of a suitcase. This is a fantastic industry for a 20-year-old. It's a little bit tedious for a 30-year-old. It's just too much for 40. You do find older people in it, but it's a young person's game. When I came back to Australia this time, my wife and son were still over in Iceland, and we just wanted a place to settle down. We lived in smaller places like Iceland. This job got advertised. I researched it. My sister lived out here and told me a bit about Mount Isa a decade ago, and she really sold it. And I'm glad. We love that here. It's actually surprising how much we love being here. There's so much potential, and I'm happy and actually proud to be not just part of it, but a driving force behind it. I feel I'm kind of leading the way in the renaissance, or the pulling Mount Isa kicking and screaming into the 21st century with technology for stage and theatre.
So MITEV has just been given, in partnership with the council, $1 million worth of sound gear. On what kind of level is this technology in terms of what big artists around Australia would be using? Are we up there? Are we competitive?
When we bought this, we had the latest, the newest stuff in comparatively in the world, not just Australia, the world. This stuff had only been in the market for less, well, some of it had been in the market for a couple of months. We had to get our control board operator, the people who made our control board, write a program so we could use half this stuff. It just didn't exist. That's how new it is. No one using our control boards could run it. So that means we were, and we probably still are, at the forefront of all this new technology in Mount Isa, of all places. Theatre in Mount Isa is at the forefront of the world, if not Australia, the world, when it comes to this type of technology.
Why is it important to actually bring theatre projects, art projects, anything like that to a place like Mount Isa?
Mount Isa has a reputation of being an outback town, a backwater, cultureless. We want to show that it isn't. But comedy festivals, events, you can't just live in a place and do nothing at night. And it is important. It's why every town has a regional theatre. It might not be much, it might be a little more than a hall, but people need a place to go, to have acts, to have a social life. And it's very important that we help that go along. And that's what we're here for.